This is our shir, Baruch Hashem, our second shir of the year, and we're going to be talking about Parshas Hazinu and a little bit about Parshas Zayis HaBracha. And we'd like to make today's shir as a refuah shleima for Mordechai David Ben Leah, who's undergoing severe surgery today in California. He should be having refuah shleima, as well as Leah Bas Tzipora. So let's take a look at the beginning of Hazinu. The pasuk tells us, Hazinu Hashemayim Vadabera V'Sishma Oretz Imrefi, that we should listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, Shemayim, and I'm going to say something. V'Sishma Oretz Imrefi, and you can listen to the words that I'm saying. And then it says, Yarev Kamoter Lichi Tizal Kadalim Rossi Kasir Mali Deshik Revi Mali Esav, all these beautiful things. Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Gaidel Elokeinu, because I am speaking in the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's bring greatness to our Kodesh Baruch. So I saw in the from Rabbi Chanan Vassman that Rabbi Chanan Vassman was once asked by his Talmidim to give them some Divrei Chizuk, and he said an interesting thing. And I was talking, thinking about this yesterday. We're sitting. It's Yom Kippur. And we're sitting and asking the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, during the whole Aseres Metshuva, all sorts of things. We're asking, give us parnosa. We're asking, give us a good year. We're asking for our families. We're asking for our friends. We're asking for Klal Yisrael as a whole, for Eretz Yisrael, all the beautiful things that we ask for. What gives us the right to ask for it? Who are we to ask? It's like sometimes, you know, Lahavdil, if a teenager comes into the parent and says, you know, give me money to buy, I need new sneakers. So say, did you clean up your room? If your room's clean, you know, then I'll talk to you. If your room's not clean, I don't want to talk to you. So here we're coming through Ribbono Shel Olam, and we're saying, it's true, our room is a little bit schmutzig, but, you know, you should give us anyway. So on what is our basis? What do we have, like, sort of to hang our hat on in order to be able to go in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam to ask him to do things for us? What is our understanding of going there? This is the question that Rabbi Chanan asks. So we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam during the days of Yom Neroyim, and we're asking for all sorts of things. On what do we base it? So said Rabbi Chanan an interesting thing. He says, if you take a look at the Pesukim, Moshe Rabbeinu is also saying, he's saying, Hazino Hashemayim Vadabera V'Sishma Oretz Imrefi. We're going to be saying things. We're going to be asking for things. We're going to be wanting things. On what basis? Who gives us that? And the answer is in the last pasuk that we read, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Hava Gadol Elokeinu. If we come to Ribbono Shel Olam, say, Ribbono Shel Olam, the reason we want all of these wonderful things is not for ourselves. It's not because of what we want, do for us, do for us, do for us. It's because we want to be able to properly do for you. And everything we do is for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if we want to have a parnasa, it's because we want to be able to give tzedakah. We want to be able to take care of our family. If we want to have health, it's because we want to be able to go to shul, we want to be able to daven, right? As you know, somebody's got a headache, you know, doesn't feel when Yom Kippur can't go, so we have to even daven, then we should be able to go to shul, be able to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So everything we're saying to Ribbono Shel Olam, what basis do we have to ask for it? The basis we have to ask for it is that you have done it for us. And in that way, that's what it means in the pasuk, Hazino Hashemayim Vadaber Sishmaretz Imrefi Yarv Kamot Lichi. We're going to have rain, we're going to have all these good things, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Hava Gadol Elokeinu, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu does it because of us. And he's doing it, and we're doing it because of him. And if we do it because of him, then we're okay. So let me just read you what it says. Mevakish kol odom kol toiv l'shana chadosh. We're asking beautiful things for next year. Shamazi yorek alav maloi. We should have shefa l'toiva. Madua bezes chus. Vama. Avim mevakish zois l'chvoid shemayim. We do it for Hashem's purpose, parnasa taiva, kedei shenechanech es b'neinu b'revacha, b'derech ha-Torah, that we should be able to be mechanech our children in the right way, and we should have money for our tuitions, okay. We should have brias and refuah, in order that we should be able to be mechanech the mitzvah k'roi, yaldeinu l'Torah, or the mitzvahs. That's what we're asking. So said Rav Chanan Vassman, that is what's going to give us the ability to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to do that. And then the second thing, says, Havu Gaidel Elokeinu. So in the Sefer here in the Mayan HaShavua, he just brings an interesting little story that happened. It says there was a Yid that had a lot of tzaras.
A lot of what?
Tzaris, problems. Yeah. He had, you know, Nebuchadnezzar had all sorts of problems, and as is the want of people with problems, you know, we turn to the Rebbeinu Shem and say, Rebbeinu Shem, why'd you do this to us? What do you do to deserve this, right? That's the way we all are. And so you see, he came into the Rav to ask an aid so that he's having problems, you know, why these things are happening to him. Yeah, okay, but obviously he had more problems than usual. He had, as we always say, as we said in the shir one time, we talked from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, that he said very beautifully, he says that if a child gets hurt, so he doesn't say anything. When his mother comes, he goes running, Mama, it hurts, right? How come he didn't say anything the first time? And the answer is, said Rabbi Nachman, is that there's, and I've heard from others also, that there's two aspects of pain. One is the pain itself, and two is the pain of being the only person to have that pain, the feeling of being alone in that pain, the feeling I'm the only one who has this pain, nobody else has it, everybody else is doing well, and I'm here. So that's where a person has, starts to have time to be bunched from. That's why you find that almost every single good Jewish organization was started by somebody who had a problem. And they felt, let's get all the people with that problem together, and we'll be mechazik each other, we'll realize I'm not the only one with the problem. They say the hardest thing for teenagers is sometimes they have problems and they don't realize, because they're still young, they don't realize that what they're going through is what lots of people go through, but they think they're the only one going through it. And therefore, so that's the second type of pain. So he felt a pain that he's not, what's going to be with him? He's not coming to himself. So he goes to the Rav. So the Rav, you know, sees that he's not in such great shape. He's having a hard time. I don't know what he is. Station identification, just one second.
Okay.
When he comes back, I'll go back and ask him. Really, girl? No?
She didn't answer the phone, and some people wasn't sure that it was today. He said so last week.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, we gotta,
she didn't remind the people, and she didn't send.
Okay, so let us continue. So he came. He went to the. He comes to the Rav, and he gives him a glass of tea, a warm tea, and he drinks the tea, and he finishes the tea, and he says, "Okay, thank you, Rabbi. That's, you know, I'm going." So the Rav says, I understand something. You came here to ask me a question. You drink a cup of tea and you go. So what happened? So this is what he said to him. So he says, you know, when you're in front of the Rav, when you make your bracha, you make it a little bit like more carefully, you know. You don't want the Rav to think you go. So you say, Baruch atah Hashem. And I said, Elokeinu melech haolam. I started thinking to myself, listen, the Ribbono shel Olam is the head of the world. And he does have shakol, everything's his. So he says, it's shakol niyeh bedvaro. Everything comes because he said it. So I started to think to myself, if the Ribbono shel Olam is in charge of everything and decided that I should have this tzaras, it must be the right thing for me. And therefore I trust the Ribbono shel Olam. So when I made the brach, I got my answer. So he says, that's, I went home. He says, Afanu nemra shakach amr Moshe Rabbeinu olav shel Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu said, ki shem Hashem ekra, when I say you're going to do everything, that's the meat of rachman. So therefore, I'm going to bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So everything is His, and therefore I trust that the Ribbono shel Olam, Baruch Hashem, knows what He's doing. Okay, let's move on to Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chav Dalet. So we talk about in the Hazinu. We talk about also in Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Chav Dalet. Don't worry, we'll get to Sukkos. We'll get there. I just want to do some Sedra. In Pasuk Chav Dalet, so it says like this. So we go through all these wonderful psukim in Hazino, and all of them are very, very profound and have much meaning. But the pasuk that he deals with is the pasuk that says like this, Mezei rav lechume resh v'ketem riri, v'shen behemos ashalubam. The teeth of behemos I will send after them. So this is part of the toichecha, part of a klola, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that if you're not going to do the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us to do and live the life that we're supposed to, so the shen behemos ashalubam, the teeth of behemos will be sent after them. Okay, so the Alter from Kelm asks a very good question. He asks an interesting question. I mean, Pasha the Kasha. What are we saying? You know, sometimes a person says he's an animal. So what does the person answer? What did the animal do wrong? The animal doesn't have any, doesn't do anything wrong. Animals, that's, he's programmed. So he says like this. He said, asks interesting questions. What do we say? Shen behemoth ashana ashalabom. I'm to send the teeth of behemoths. And the Chazal learned that to mean we send Rishoyim after him. Not just talking about behemoths in the literal sense of animals, but I'm going to send Rishoyim after them. So he says, Mahavu elba in tsarev l'chayas hayar, ki arashu ra. A Rosh is bad in our concept. When we think of a Rasha, we think of an evil person, right? That's a Rasha. So you say, Rakuv, he's rotten, mushchus. V'ilu chayas hayar, ain't a Raklau. They're not so bad. What did they do wrong? So what will the ant lion taina? The lion will taina. You'll go and you say, Nebuch, you went and you chased down this poor gazelle, this poor zebra, and mom, she ate him alive. That, what kind of a Rasha are you? So you're Russia. So what will the lion answer back? The lion will say, why are you people any different? You take Nebuchadnezzar carrot, which was growing so nicely, and you put it in your teeth, and you rip it to shreds, and you chew it up, and there's nothing left of the poor thing. So why am I any different than you? So the behemoth looks at the person. He says, why am I different? He says, of course, there is a difference. The difference is that the carrot, you don't see the fear in the carrot's eyes, as you see in there. So l'chur, when the lion is eating, the lion's not a Rasha per se. The lion's, he doesn't see he's doing anything wrong. He says, that's the way it is. Yes, I'm hungry. This is, the gazelle is there, the zebra's there, and I'm eating it. You're no different, you people. You also eat, you also tear things apart and kill them and eat them. Why am I such a Rasha? So that's how the lion will look at it. So Zok the Alter from Kelm is that this is a very interesting understanding of Rasha. He says, we have to understand what a Rasha is. He says, our normal understanding of a Rasha, as we said, is a person is a sadist. He's a sick person. He's a mamish. He gets a psychopath, a sociopath. He gets a nod of kill. That's a magdrega Rasha. He says, but there's another Rasha that's much more common Rasha. As a matter of fact, during the Holocaust, Nebuch, one of the things that they found when they started looking into the lives of many of the Nazis, is that in their private lives, they were like regular people. One of the famous, he writes here, I didn't make this up, but he writes in the Sefer, he says, Rudolf Hess, who was the commandant of Auschwitz, was known as a family man, and he loved his dogs, and he was like, in his regular life, he was a good person, but here he was mamish, shreklich, beyond concept Russia. During the Nuremberg trials, there was a woman by the name of Hannah Arendt. Hannah Arendt was a Jewish philosopher, and she coined a term which became known as the banality of evil. Have you ever heard that? You've heard it, okay. The banality of evil. What's the banality of evil? Banality of evil means that there are rishoyim that are, you can't believe it. How did it happen? How did it happen that this person could become a mass murderer when in his private life he's a guy with a driveway and a car and two kids and a dog? I mean, what happened? And then he goes off to work and kills people for a living. And how did this, you know, there was a guy named Sammy the Bull Gravano. I remember when years ago, he was a famous mafia enforcer. And he went to trial. He said, yeah, I killed 19 people. You know, just doing my job. You know, that was the mafia speak. That's the way he looked at it. They were just doing his job. So how do we understand this? So he gives a marshal, and he tells a story, and I think it's a true story because he gives who was with. There was a certain manager of a bank, and the vision that one day the bank manager looks through, you know, banks have these glass doors, you know, and you see out, it's nice, always nicely situated in, 13th Avenue over there. And all of a sudden he sees the vision of Tzareba comes into the bank. So the vision of Tzareba comes in. He says, what's the vision of Tzareba doing in my bank? How could that be? But okay. And the Rebbe says, may I have a few moments of your time. So he says, okay, sure. So the Rebbe sits down across from him, and he sits there. You know how it is when you're in, you wait for the person on the other side of the desk to say something. And the Rebbe doesn't say anything. The Rebbe just sits there. And he sits there and he looks at the Rebbe, and the Rebbe looks at him. And he looks at the Rebbe, and the Rebbe looks at him. And this goes on 2 minutes, 5 minutes. You know, we've already spoken a number of times. What fundraiser told me is that the most important weapon you have as a fundraiser is silence. People hate silence. So once you make your ask, you say, I want $10,000 from you. So you sit and say nothing, because then the burden is on the other person to answer. So he's trying to figure out what in the world is going on here. And finally, the Rebbe says, thank you so much, and he gets up to leave. So now he can't hold himself in anymore. He says, I don't understand, Rebbe. You know, this guy was probably, it doesn't say he was a firm person, not a firm person, but he knew enough to know the vision that the Rebbe is a great man. And he says, Rebbe, what was this all about? You came and you sat down and you left. So how am I supposed to understand this? How is it that you came and you sat down and you left? Telling the story of the vision itself, just tell you, go back a second to get the gist of the story. So it says that there was a bank teller that he was sitting, we're asking the question. It says, we'll go back a little bit more. It says, V'shen behemoth ashalu bum. In the Pasuk, it says, the teeth of behemoth I will send against you. Pasuk and Hazinu, this week's Sedra. I will send the behemoth against you. And Rashi says, it means the chayas ayar. Means the wild animals are going to tear you apart. And we say it doesn't mean just wild animals, it also means rishoyim. It's an expression of rishoyim. So the question is, what did the animal do wrong that the rasha should be compared to an animal? Why is an animal shoulder? Why do we compare him to an animal? You know, they always say, you're an animal, what did the animal do wrong? So he said a story like this. The vision of Tzareb, there was once a bank teller. And the bank teller was sitting, and he was sitting, and the vision of Tzareb came in to visit him. And then when the vision of Tzareb came in to visit him, so he just sat down across from him for like a few minutes, and he didn't say anything, and then he gets up to leave. And the teller said, why are you here? So the Rebbe answered him, because I want to be Mekayim a Chazal. It says in Chazal, Kashem Shemitzah Loimer Dover HaNishma, Kach Mitzah Shloi Loimer Dover Shein HaNishma. The same way it's a mitzah to say something you should say, it's a mitzah to not say something you shouldn't say. And I knew what I'm going to say to you, you're not going to listen to me. So I want to be Mekayim the mitzah, but now I'm going to leave. So of course, this was a brilliant strategy. And the guy said, What's this all about? So he said, well, now that you asked, so let me tell you. So now that you asked, let me tell you. He says, Nebuch, there's a poor woman who just lost her husband, and she has a shtib from kinder, and she has no money, and she has a property this bank is the head of the mortgage department of this property. And you're about to repossess her house and throw her and her four children into the street. And I said, I'm going to beg you to try not to do that, and you're going to say no. So he says, listen, Rebbe, what should I do? That's the rules of the bank. I mean, it's not, I just work here. I'm just a manager. I'm not the owner of the bank. So he says, see, I told you couldn't be able to do it. You couldn't answer me. So he says, thank you so much. Time to go. So the guy's like, you know, oh, you feel so bad. So he says, listen, Rebbe, do me a favor. We'll work something out. We can figure a way out that this woman should not be thrown out with her four children. We'll work something out, Rebbe. So the Rebbe sits down again. This was masterful. He sits down again and he looks at him and he says, okay, you know, saying, let's see what we can do. And eventually they worked out something to help this woman. So the question is, this bank manager is a good person. He doesn't see himself as a Russia. He seems a good person. So how is it possible that he could throw an almana with four yesoimim into the street? And the answer is that I guess you would call it cognitive dissonance. I've told the story here one time that when we bought our house, we had a real estate agent. It was a firm person. And we found out that basically she had told us a price that was $1,000 higher than she had told the person who was selling us the house, who gave it away by mistake. And it turned out she had mamish stole $1,000 from us. That would really be a story. It was only $1,000. First of all, it was 40 years ago, so that was a lot of money, $1,000. And I was making a lot less. It was not a lot of money. So after, we were so upset, my wife and I, we much couldn't come to ourselves, because how is it possible that a frum person should steal $1,000? So we said, you know, we're going to ask her. We're going to talk to her. So we figured she'll be mitaretz herself. I didn't know. I didn't understand. Who knows? We're trying to figure out what could she say. And she looks at us like with coldly, and she says, "Well, that's business."
Wow.
Yeah, that's business. I still, yeah, I ripped you off $1,000, but that's business. Now this woman, I'm telling, no, by no, she knew. This is what I'm saying. She said it's business. Wow. In other words, this is a person who I'm sure is medactic kalav kebachamura, a person who does everything. I'm sure she doesn't do a single aver in the world. But she went to business. That's business. It's a different world. So it says that's sukta alter from kelm. That our understanding of rishis is a little bit skewed. We think of the rush, like I remember they used to teach us when you have the dalet banan. So the rush, when I was a kid, they used to have these haggadahs, I think, from Maxwell House or whatever. And the rush was a guy with like had bulging eyes with an axe, right? And he had an axe. He was an axe murderer, right? Then later on, you found out, you got a little more mature, and you learned that all the Rosh Hashivas tell you that Esav looked like a Rosh Hashiva, and Esav was a whole different person. You wouldn't have known the difference, because remember, until 15 years old, you couldn't even tell the difference between Yaakov and Esav. They were twins, and they looked the same, and they all looked the same. Because you wouldn't know. So you don't know the Rosh and the Tzaddik, because the Rosh doesn't know he's a Rosh. The Rosh is doing is, in a way, he's just saying, that's the way it is. I'm not looking so carefully, or I'm like sort of pushing this off to the side. And he says, that's the pshat. And he says, that's the pshat of the arye, of the animal, of the lion. He's looking at you with those eyes. Okay, listen, that's business. You know, and that's the way the arye looks at it. So the Rosh, what?
Did you pay $100,000?
That's what I was just going to ask.
Oh, that's what you want to know?
Yeah,
no, we didn't. We found out about. No, no,
you
no.
Never got
no,
back?
No, we found out about later. No, she didn't think there was anything wrong. That's business. In other words, part of business is to lie to you and fool you into.
And she took the extra $1,000.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm just saying. But the word being is that this was an Erlich person. This was. I'm not quite sure her. But it got skewed, you know, people.
For her, this was justice in business.
In business.
You have to write everything down.
It's okay. Anyway, but I'm just making a point here. It's a painful episode when we hash. So, Zazman Loshevel Ari, let's go back to the Aryeh. Hapagumi Nachashva. The Aryeh saying, you know, he's upset. You're so upset with me. What's the difference between me and the and you and the piece and the carrot? You ate the carrot and you also chewed it up and tore it apart. He says, but the difference is that the animal, look at how he's in pain, look how he's suffering, look at his fear. So he says, that's the way he says most Rishoyim are like that. He says, most Rishoyim, they're not Rishoyim even. They're okay, but they're doing Mice of Resha. They're not realizing that what they're doing is a Mice of Resha. They're deaf to it. So sometimes we speak Lashon Hara. Right? I think we all think we're good people, right? We do. And we are, I hope. but let's say Chas V'Shem, you say some Lashon Hara, and that Lashon Hara hurts a person, or you throw off a remark and berab him, and you embarrass somebody, and shame somebody, and you didn't mean to. You didn't mean to, but you weren't trained. You didn't train yourself not to. There's a Maisa, there's some Rishas in that. So that's what we're telling us over here. We're saying, V'Shen Behemus HaShalach Bom. The teeth of the Russia, it's not even what we would call a Russia, but there's sometimes people who don't realize that they're doing a mice of Russia. They're not thinking about it. And that we can get nitvis on also. So we have to be very careful in the things that we do and the things that we say that we shouldn't. And that's why it says in the post, he brings at the end, it says, Anshe Kaidish Tiuli. You should be Anshe Kaidish, people of Kedusha. He says, not only should you be Kedusha, but you should also be people. Should be anoshim. Should be people who think about what we do and not just do things. And I think that's probably our biggest, at least mine, weak point is not thinking. Is saying things before thinking, and then after is regretting what we think. And sometimes a good person can do a bad thing. You know, they say, why do good things happen to bad people? Why do bad things happen to good people? The other way around. Why do bad things happen to good people? But sometimes good people say bad things. So that I can tell you. And that happened. That's what he said. And that's why it's compared to the animal. Because the animal just looks at it's my teva. That's the way it is. And in the same way, people can do Maisa Resha because that's just the way it is. And they're not even thinking about it. Okay, let's move on to, I'd like to move on now to Parshas V'Zois HaBracha and deal with something that's Baruch Hashem, we're coming up to all our Yom Tovim now.
We learn the Sukkot, or you just... We have a shir before Sukkot, the last time we were here.
We're going to have a shir before Sukkot.
Oh, you didn't say we're going to. I thought you could.
Well, actually, that's what we're about to do now. We're going to talk about Sukkot too. As I said last week, there's just so many things to cover. You know, you have the parsha, you have the Yom Tov. So the next thing we're going to say is going to cover it all, the whole business. We're going to get to Yom Tov, and we're going to get to parsha. It's going to be beautiful.
Mommy, at the end, by the way, I have a story to counteract that story.
Which story? You mean a nice story? Okay, fine. Okay. Fine. Okay. So we're coming up, and it says, V'zayis HaBracha, we're telling the Zayis HaBracha, the famous last parsha, you know, you get the Gaguyim for Zayis HaBracha. As I always say, to me, V'zayis HaBracha is the saddest parsha because it's the end. But it's also the beginning, right? You're going on to you right away. That's why we transition right away to Breishis. We shouldn't get depressed. You know, if you have too much time, you can say Zayis HaBracha and Breishis, you'll feel bad. So right away, and we sit in shul, say Zayis HaBracha, boom. Right away, we're Breishis before we know it. Zayis HaBracha, Sheberach Moshe, Ish Elokim is Bnei Yisrael. This is the bracha that Moshe, the Ish Elokim, blessed the Bnei Yisrael, Ifnei Moisai. And of course, you know, it's interesting. We don't talk about Moshe Rabbeinu very much, how great he was. We say he was an Adam Mikol Adam. We say he was an Eved Hashem. And he was an Ish Hashem, Ish Elokim. That's who he was. His whole Mahus was the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything he did was the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vayomer Hashem misinai bo. Hashem came from Sinai. V'zorach miseir lomo. He came flying from Seir. Haifiyah maharparat. V'os mivaz kaidish mimino eish das lomo. Name of Mezedes. Seifers, I have an affinity to the word eish das. So I want to ask a number of questions, and then we're going to say a yisoid that's going to help give us an understanding in the entire scope of the Yom Tovim, Yom Yetz Hashem, that we're about to encounter. So the first question is, we know we're going to be coming up in the middle of Sukkot, right before the last days. There's sort of a half a yontif called Hoshana Rabbah. And Hoshana Rabbah is a day when we take the Hoshana, which is another name for the Arava. But it's called the Hashanah because we go around the Aron Kodesh like they went. Mamish, this is something what they did in the Beis Hamikdash. They went around the Mizbeach seven times with the Aravas, and they said that the words Hashanah, it became known as the Hashanahs. But we take the Arava, and we make a big deal of it. Hashanah Rabbah, the big day of the Hashanah. Now, the interesting thing is, if you all remember, that what's the difference between the Esther, the Hadassim, the lulav and the hashana. So we say that the esrog has flavor and reyach and tam, right? And what's the one that it has neither one?
The
hashana. No, not the lulav, it was the hashana. The arava has neither taste nor reyach. So it's a funny thing. We don't say esrog rabba. We should look her, we should take it for the day. We call it esrog rabba, the big day of the esrog. Instead, we take the hashana and we make a big deal out of it. And we say, this is the day we carry in our hand with the whole, you know, minute with five. Mrs. Salem's not here, we can't ask her how many they do by the Sephardim, but you have five. And what do we do with this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful minute? We take it, we slam it on the ground. Isn't that strange? I mean, think of it. We take this, it's like we take our strike and go, ugh. I mean, it's almost like we're being mevazet. So what is this minute? What's going on here that we take the Hashanah, we call it Hashana Rabbah, the great day of the Hashanah, and then we hit it on the ground. So that's number one. Question number two. During Chol HaMoed, we make a huge celebration, the biggest celebration around, called Nisach HaMayim. We make a simple Beis HaShoeva. What is Beis HaShoeva? Beis HaShoeva is we take... There was a minig was that normally all the nesachim throughout the year that are offered with the korbanos or by themselves are made out of wine, fine wine. We take beautiful, expensive wine, right? It's we go out to the vineyards and in Eretz Yisrael especially, vineyard is a big thing and they make wine and beautiful and you make nesachim, you offer to the ribbono shel Olam. So what do? Once a year, we take a flask of water. And we have everybody's dancing, everybody's jumping, everybody's excited about it, and we pour it out onto the Mizbeach. So Vaita, what it's also like just a strange, another, just what's going on? It's just like, we can't understand a strange minig. Why are we doing all these things? See, and then The third question is, now we go a little deeper. And it says, we said Hashem, we know there's a famous pasuk that says, Hashem, Misinai ba, Zarach Misayu Lama, Hafiyam Har Paran, Vazmi Vizkaidish, Yimimino, Eish Das Lama. So Chazal say, where was the Kadosh Baruch Hu flying around? He was over here. He was over there. So there's a famous Chazal. So let's learn the Chazal together, because we're going to ask an amazing question in this Chazal. It says, B'tchila halach etzo b'nei Esav. In the beginning, he went to b'nei Esav. Amar lem, b'kamu atem es ha-tayra? Amar loy, ma kasev ba? What's written in it? Amar lem loy sirtzach. Don't murder. Amru ribayin shalaylam. Call Atzmo Shal Avinu Ritzehu, our father. That's what he was. Shenemra Yadayim Yadayesav. Akach Huftach Valchar B'chatichyan. We're told, live by the sword. Sorry, can't take your Torah because we got a problem with one of the 613 mitzvahs. 612, we're good with, right? That's what he's implying. 612, we're good with. We got a problem with this one. Okay. So what do they do? Halav Eitzel Amen. They go to Amen Amayev. Varmla Mekabla Temes HaTorah. Amrlo Max Siva, what does it say? Amrlem lo sinaf, shouldn't be immoral. Amrlo fun, rebellious lalem. Kiamnu marayas, that's who we are. That's what we're all about. Vat tyrannus, shnebanos, like miavia. That's how we got here. We're all about arayas. We're all about immorality. So we can't take the Torah. So the other 6 through 12 we're okay with. We got a problem with this one. Finally, halak matzah b'nei Yishmael. He finds b'nei Yishmael, Amrlem. What does it say? Don't steal. The truth is, Yishmael has them all. You know what I'm saying?
I thought Yishmael was the other one.
What
was the immoral? The second one again?
They were all listim. Shenemer, v'uye pera adam, yado bakayo. So we can't take it. Ask the kasha, beautiful kasha. So all your problem was with one mitzvah. So why don't we give you, Klal Yisrael will take 613, and the rest of the world will take 612, and you only have 613. What? It's because you rejected one, that's it, the whole, you know, it's out, you know? What take 612, and there'll be Mekayim, beautiful the term. All the world will be worshiping Hashem. Okay, so they won't have this one. Why not? Okay, so what's the insight? So we have the question on, we don't understand Hoshana Rabbah, why we take this beautiful Hoshana. First of all, why we make the day over the Hoshana itself, which is not Tam, not Reach. Why do we make such a big deal and then beat it on the ground? Two, why do we make such a big deal of water? And we take water and we take it and we spill it out and everybody goes, you know, this was based on Shueva. I mean, I remember when they came out, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, and they came out to the song Tzion Halo Si Shali. Tzion Halo Si Shali. So they had a big song in those days. It just came out. I remember being in the Stolen Rebbe's Medrash. They danced with over a half hour. It was like a psychedelic experience by the time you were finished. You know, you were just pulsing to it. So what's the pshat? So he explains that the pshat is like this. He says, what is it all about? What is our relationship to Ribbono Shel Olam? What makes us effective? What makes us able to take a Torah and imbibe it and absorb it? He says the pshat is the hachna, the fact that we are humble, the fact that we don't think we know better than the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we know it all, but we're willing to say we don't know anything. We're like the midbar, like the Torah was given the midbar, and everything's coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and our relationship is such as like we're. Whatever you tell us, we do. We accept Nasa v'Nishma, and the Arava represents that. So the Arava Dafka, we take the one which has no tam, which has no reach, and we take it and we put it and we say we're willing to go ad ha'ofer. We're willing to go down to the ground for you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Chavita ras soidus nisgavim, bepashtus inyana hachna ad ha'ofer hachna until mamish you hit the ground. Svasemis. Kabbalas all muchletas ubescharza zoicha afmishu bebechinas arava sheinitel levadai. That if you can get like that, you the arava becomes by itself. Remember, the lulav never goes by itself. The esrog never goes by itself. The hadassim never go by itself. They're only good together with the other four, with the other three. The only one that has its own chashivas is of all of them is the Arava, because the Arava is the one that that says our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam is one of achna and one of even being willing, even if you beat us to the ground, we're with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now we take a look at the water. We take a look at the water and mayim. Mayim, Chazal tell us, is the same yesod. What is mayim? So the Tanya says, Hayayin, says the Balatanya, Yayin is Mesameh, Lukim Vanoshim, makes people happy. Roim is Lavoyus Hashem, Mitoch Hafana Vasogas Tameim. That means that's a remez of people who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they know things. Right? Mishenichnas Yayin, Yotza Soit. When a person takes Yayin, so Soit comes out, secrets come out, secrets of the Torah come out. That's why it's called Soit. One of the four of the parts is Soit. Because you take Yayin, and you get deep into things. Water is pashtus. Water, you know, if you take water, it's very interesting. It's very annoying, too. Wherever you pour water, it always goes to the lowest level. You ever notice that?
Yes.
Right? When it spills on the table, right away it spills on you. You know, you spill water on the table, next thing you know, you're all wet. Because why? Because water goes to the lowest level. So water also represents that anova. And that's really what it's all about. And that's what Sukkos is all about. We go in the Sukkah, we go into the Tzela Demnusa. We go, it's called the shade of belief, the shade of Amunah. And we go into the Sukkah and we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're just surrounded by you. And when we have that relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam, we actually, it means we have everything. Instead of having nothing, we have everything. Because as long as we have some of us in there, so that part doesn't let the Ribbono Shel Olam in, because we think we know better. As soon as we say we don't know anything, everything comes from you, Ribbono Shel Olam, then we're nitzchius, then we're eternal, then we have eternity. Then that's the way we're kainit. So we kainit, we go into the sukkah, and we have the arava, and we have the nisach hamayim, and in that way we're kainit everything. And that's why you can't have 612. It says if you go to an army, and you tell, they take you in the army, you say, soldier! You know, you're going to go by the rules, or you come, or in our case it would probably be better, you come to a new job in a company, and they say, are you going to play by the rules of the company? Here's the personnel sheet. Well, I don't like this one. I'm not going to do this one. You're not going to, right, you're not getting hired. I can tell you, as an employer, I can tell you, you're out. It's right, package deal, exactly. You're taking the whole thing. So that's it. If they're going to say even one thing they're not taking, then they're basically saying, I'm not being machniyah myself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If I take all 613, then I'm saying, you, me, Ribbono Shel Olam, we have a relationship. Our relationship is, you're in charge, I listen, you tell me what to do, and you fill me with bracha and atzlacha, all good things. But it's only if you have all 613. If you only have 612, it's not going to work. And he says, and that's the reason why you can't have only of the 613. So he says, therefore, on all the days of the Yontiv, it says we're makiv every day. They makiv 70 parim for the Umas Olam. But on Shmini Atzeres, on the last day, it's only one. Why? Because just us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now it's down to brass tacks. Now it's us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we declare our loyalty to Ribbono Shel Olam, and he declares his loyalty to us. So that's really what Sukkah is all about. We come through Yom Kippur, Baruch Hashem, we all came through Yom Kippur, clean as a whistle. We have to believe that. I don't have time now, but the whole story we told from Ramesha, that Ramesha once had a whole thing where he was Michael something. People say, how could you be Michael? And he says, what do you mean, never did anything to me? He says, what do you mean, didn't do anything? Did you see what he did to you? He says, yeah, but he was forgiven. He did. You know, Yom Kippur was mechaper him for that. I forgave him a long time ago. And Yom Kippur cleaned him up, so he's like a new person. I got a new relationship with him. So we believe that the day after Yom Kippur is the best day in the year. It's ours to lose. It's ours to blow. Right now, we're clean as a whistle. And then we go, and we establish that relation. Now that Kodesh Baruch Hu has made us different people. So, you know, if you try and take something like scotch tape and you put it on a table and there's schmutz, it doesn't stick. But now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can, so to speak, we can stick. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we go into the sukkah, we surround ourselves with Ribbono Shel Olam, we take the Rava and Hashanah Rabbah, we do the Nisach HaMayim, we do all those things, we have the Shmini Atzeres, we declare a fealty to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Bezus Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of us, because just like a father, when the child goes to the parent and says, I'm coming to you, you know, I'm coming home, and I don't have any of my own, so then the parent takes care of him. The Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of us. we'll have, we know it's a Zman Chen Chaseinu, because there's no bigger simcha than knowing that the Ribbono Shel Olam takes care of us. We go through all sorts of things in life, and everybody has their own stuff. But if we feel that there's somebody taking care of us, there's somebody who's caring for us, even if we're in pain, we have something to cry to, as we said before, we feel we're not alone, even through tzaras, that's also wonderful. The Ribbono Shel Olam should help. We should all have a wonderful, wonderful yontiv. And all with your mishpachas, it shall be beautiful. Bez Hashem, we come after yontiv. I'm not sure when. I don't know. I think we got a brachus out of this.
Ends on Tuesday.
Also Thursday. Yeah. So Hashem, we will have parshas brachus. We not every year are we zeicha to a share in parshas brachus. So it's very exciting. The Barbanel is 150 pages on brachus alone. You know, there's so much to talk about. So Abraham Zalman will have something to talk about.
So just turn off the.
Press the off.
Yeah. $1,000. This is connected. It's also.